9:09, fourth and final hour of this morning show extravaganza, and the final 51 minutes before we release Sean Simpson into the wild for a week's holidays. So this is a mailing it in Friday, and a mailing it in 9 o'clock hour. We're not going to get anything regarding strong opinions from Sean Simpson this hour, are we?
I don't know. Been an incredible 3 hours. Been an incredible 3 months as we powered through this. So I think we're all deserved of a little vacation time.
Exactly. Hey, you know, by the time when you come back on July the 20th or thereabouts, whatever that day is, I mean, we'll still be setting up things at that point. We won't, but we'll be edging very close to baseball. Will be starting on that Thursday of the week you're back. We will have the NHL teams descending on their hub cities at the end of that week.
Yeah,
we'll have the NBA, of course, in place. Or none of it. Yeah. It could all blow up in the week you're away.
Well, it could, and the following week you're off. So by the time we reconvene on the 27th, I'd say, hey, this is typical me. I'm pumped about the Raptors, but I said this to CJ, and I don't know if you agree, JR, how athletes approach this, I think more than ever, what they're saying to the media is going to get people more excited or turn people off, right? Where the hockey so far, I'm more excited now about the hockey than anybody else and anything else.
I thought you were all about the Raptors a week ago.
No, I was, but the whole, you know.
Don't let Rajon Rondo bring you down.
No.
You were impressed by the Raptors rolling in their buses yesterday with Black Lives Matter.
The Raptors are fine. It's kind of the rest of the crew. But as we get here to the 27th, we'll have a great idea whether or not the NHL has gotten to Edmonton and Toronto. And I think at that point, if everything's good, then we're ready to rock and roll as far as the hockey. But hey, I'm still excited about the Raptors. Just the rest of the league and the buy-in. And there's just, like, right now, from baseball to that, nobody wants to hear anything negative. And so far, so good for the National Hockey League.
All right, speaking of negativity, Simmer began the show, for those of you who weren't with us in the very early hour, by announcing that he and his girlfriend Mira are going to Costco for the first time ever in their lives this afternoon to prepare for the cottage visit, which will begin tomorrow. Yeah. Was looking for some sage advice from Costco veterans on how to handle all of this.
Yeah.
And so, again, my best advice was to, if you've not had the Costco experience, be prepared to pay way more money to get way more things than you had gone in for.
Okay.
But in terms of avoiding lineups, first of all, you're not going to be able to avoid lineups, but your best chance of avoiding a lineup or getting a short lineup is to go in the final hour before closing.
Okay.
And that will also limit the amount of time that you'll find other things that you don't really need that you would typically buy.
That's true. They're trying to get you out. Also, looking at the hours, would you recommend, which I've tried to say to Mira, let's not do this today. First of all, gorgeous day. Tomorrow's supposed to be a bit rainy. They open up shop tomorrow at 9 a.m. I'm an early riser, as we all are from working this. Would I not be smarter to go at 8 a.m. tomorrow, get in line, or wait at the Costco versus going this afternoon?
I am not an early. I don't go to Costco that often. Period.
Okay.
But I have never ventured out, so I don't know whether people wait in line to get into Costco.
Okay.
Hammer.
Okay. I think there would be a beginner line, but I don't think it would be that long.
Not a bad idea, Simmer. And if that means that Mira said, "Oh, I'll sleep in," you go handle that. That might limit, as you said, she likes to shop.
Yeah.
That might limit the expense too.
It also could prevent a fight too prior to cottage going.
She also not really overly confident in my purchasing ability. So that's been a bit of an issue as well, is that she does, because there's in a
sounds
normal.
Sounds like you guys have things to talk about.
No, we don't, but in a normal circumstance, this would have been perfect. She could sleep in, I'll go and do it. No, I think she's a little intrigued to get in there to take a look around. What is also important, in the morning, I'm not saying I'm ready to roll with a steak, but the way our body's set up now, I'm very hungry as I go in, and I feel like when I'm hungry, I make the proper choices.
Yeah. Yes.
Where if you go in, you go in right after dinner, nothing looks good. You're like, oh man, no way I could eat another steak right now.
Now, so, can I ask the question, because you said you guys are going to the cottage. You said the reason you're going to Costco is that you're going on a week's haul. You know, there are lots of other, large grocery stores that have pretty much the same thing, where you may not face nearly the amount of lineup.
I have no idea. I've kind of, this has been part of what I've been explaining as well. Her two boys, there's going to be some people visiting. Like, we're not talking about the masses here where there's 80 people at the cottage. I'm kind of wondering proportionally, good old Loblaws, Bar Havens has some of the best steak in the planet.
You need the big man to have a phone conversation with her?
It could be.
The big man.
That could be a possibility.
You
just
call
a recommendation, hey? If she starts speaking to you in Arabic, that means she's not happy with what's going on, what you're saying.
Okay.
So just as a word of warning. But, but I've wondered the same thing. Like, why? I don't know. Or even, and my thought, too, is with how hot it is outside, if I go and purchase this massive amount of food, I don't leave it in the buggy overnight.
No.
Like, would it not be smarter to go and purchase it tomorrow? That stays in the car on what's a cooler day, and then we just bring it up to the cottage.
See, you're coming, you're talking yourself logically into things, so
well,
I like that.
Here's one thing I will say, and this is whether we with people or when we do the Tromblon each year. One thing, having worked in the NHL, when it comes to travel, I traveled my whole life, and when it comes to, I wouldn't say from a meal standpoint, but it's amazing how methodical your mind comes, right, for how you're planning something.
Yeah.
Just because I was so used to it. It used to always be, when I worked in the NHL, it was almost like 2-week segments, because you usually would leave somewhere on like a Tuesday or Wednesday, stay 10 to 12 days, and so just kind of break it down that way. So that is one of my strengths.
You're always thinking about your next meal. That's the one thing when you're at the cottage. Now, what is going to be the drink of choice for Simmer next week as your dockside?
I've really decided that either I've had all of the wine that's available on the planet when it comes to white wine. I'm not as into it. So, no, it's a strong Moscow Mule.
Okay.
And to my time in Russia and celebrating the 10-year anniversary, I think a little vodka and a little Moscow Mule, but any combo with vodka.
Do you have the copper cups that for the essential Moscow Mule?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Okay.
And so we'll have those up there. Yeah, that'll be the go-to. The other part I'm trying to figure out, I don't think I can rollerblade up in cottage country, right?
No, probably not strong on the gravel roads. No.
No, I actually thought of the highway. And another, hey, Hammer, can I also throw a wrench too?
Yeah.
People that cycle on highways that have no shoulder and for some reason wanted to do that. So just a little wrench to that.
It combines class winning and leading, technology and stuff.
Yeah, I went for a little run there a few weeks ago up on cottage country, and I was way off to the gravel side, but no, I would not attempt the rollerblades. So got to figure out a bit of a workout pattern, the rest is just get up there and enjoy it.
But Justin has tweeted at us for a birthday shout-out. He'll be celebrating his birthday tomorrow. Boys wants a shout-out. I know I share it with one of the best NHL defensemen of all time, Al MacInnis. So happy birthday to you, Justin.
Oh, no, did he just give away your birthday, your sports birthday player?
No, that's tomorrow. I don't do the birthdays on the weekend. No, it's all
okay.
Good. It's
all
good.
I can tell you that. So, what?
Oh, it's just a shout out. It's not a wrench. Where does Al rank on the power ranking of your all time faves? I know Jerome's number one.
I have a bit of an Al MacInnis story because way back in the day, as a very young man, I went to see Al MacInnis play junior hockey for the Kitchener Rangers.
Yeah.
Scored 38 goals one year in 51 games as a defenseman. I went to go see him play a game as a very young man, so we're talking early 80s, in Brantford. There was a very brief time when Brantford had an OHL team, the Brantford Alexanders.
Oh, absolutely.
Named for Alexander Graham Bell.
Yeah, moved to Hamilton right after.
Yeah, didn't last for very long in Brantford, but I went to a game featuring Al MacInnis.
Okay.
And I think this was maybe the year he was drafted by the Flames. I had never seen anybody shoot the puck as hard as this guy. So we're sitting behind the bench, and kids, they didn't have netting in that day.
Even warm-up would be dangerous.
And you didn't really know a whole heck of a lot about players and the intricacies like you know now. Like, I'd have an idea. I heard this Al MacInnis guy's pretty good, right? He, and this is this no word of a lie. So we're sitting at one end. He unloads a shot which gets deflected, goes up and over the glass, and hits us. Fortunately, it was not a sellout. A seat two rows in front of us. And at that point, seats were made out of wood.
Oh, yeah. That noise. You know that noise if you've been there.
It cracked the seat in half. Like, it just
no
went
way.
Like that. And that's like, that was a wake-up call. We spent the rest of the game actually avoiding the end at which the Kitchener Rangers were shooting at. Yeah. So that's my Al MacInnis memory.
And very sadly, back in the day, guys, in warm-up, pucks used to hit people all the time, not paying attention. They'd head up, and that's Al MacInnis with a wooden stick. And this is a fascination, because if you grew up and you're a big hockey fan in Ottawa, the gentleman's name was Andy Schneebiener or something. Schneebiener ended up playing a little bit with Vancouver in the National Hockey League, I believe. The legend was that he could score from his whole goal line. I don't know if it's true or not, but I just remember it. Everybody be like, oh, Andy scored from his own goal line. I'm like, that's either a really crappy goalie or this guy has one hell of a shot. But he was a local legend. But wooden sticks and Al MacInnis, and also some of the ice surfaces, and I'm assuming that that's an old barn. Some of those smaller barns, like those guys would roll through the neutral zone and you feel like they start winding up, they might have a chance to score.
He had the unbelievable backswing.
Yeah. Him and Doug Wilson, for me growing up, it just defied logic. Much like watching Paul Coffey skate, you just watch, and even in Doug Wilson not being the biggest guy in the world, where Al's a pretty good sized guy, you're just like, how is that possible that he's generating that much to make that puck go that fast?
Doubling back to your Costco adventure, Simmer, I got a great call from Richard, who let me know about a website called Win2, that's with 1-0, win2.shop, and it breaks down how busy a lot of these grocery stores and hardware stores are and when to go.
Okay.
So Costco here,
like in real time?
In real time. Oh. JR, I think he's right here. You might be looking to go around 7:30, 8 o'clock. That looks to be a great window for you tonight.
I'm planning kind of
the mornings are busy. I'm getting big lineups in the morning.
Here's the way my day goes. Get the nap in, have the workout. Afternoon on a day like this, probably have a nice little something. Planning a seafood dinner and maybe a little champagne to kick it off. Like I don't think I'm in the right spot. Mm-hmm. That evening shopping, on days like this, if I make the decision to hit the right side of the couch at Mira's place, the only removal is either to get another drink or go to the bathroom. So I don't know that Costco's going to... I'm an early morning guy. I'm feeling that one.
If you're hoping that the evening maybe ends in romance, a trip to Costco... And listen, lots of good people at Costco. It's a great place to shop, etc. Yeah. But I'm not necessarily thinking trip to Costco ends in romance.
Oh, yeah?
I'm just going to say that right now.
What if you come back with just a bounty? Here,
No. She wants to go with me, though.
That's not happening.
So you can get her a nice piece of jewelry at Costco.
Sorry, back one more story about
Al. Went to Costco for the ring. Hey? Yeah,
exactly. One more story about Al MacInnis. And you would have been the 89 final, right? You would have been just kind of finishing up your playing career, as it were, that final against Montreal that year. You could argue that Patrick Roy is maybe the greatest goaltender of all time. Yeah. I would say the only time I've ever seen Patrick Roy intimidated was when Al MacInnis was winding up for some slot shots in the final. Like, there were a couple of times when Patrick Roy in the final, when he got beat by shots from Al MacInnis, where he was standing back in the net.
Or he would drop the puck to the butterfly, and it was almost like wind was going over, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're back on your heels. I agree. Also, neat backstory to him. He went to Notre Dame, did he not, coming out of the Maritimes?
He played for the Regina Pats Blues. He played in the Saskatchewan Junior League.
Here's what happened between he and Gary Lehman. Bob Strum, longtime NHL guy, ran the Vegas team. So what he did with Al MacInnis is that he basically became Al MacInnis's legal guardian, because he wanted Al to play for the Regina Pats. So this was the whole thing in the Kitchener Rangers, because at that time, if you were from the Maritimes, you could play in any of the three leagues, right? And they're like, no, not happening. So he ended up having to go to Kitchener after that. And then remember his brother Robbie getting in a little bit of dust up and getting arrested a couple of times? Robbie MacInnis, do you remember that name?
I do not.
Yeah, he played in the American Hockey League back in the day. I think for the Voyageurs or the Nova Scotia Oilers. So that was, but big-time Maritime family.
Al MacInnis has a son, Ryan, who was drafted into the NHL. I don't know if he's ever ended up playing a game.
Okay.
But to play junior hockey in Kitchener as well. So, and has settled, like many do, in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Big part of the, he's part of the Blues executive, right?
He is, Al MacInnis. And I think that was that first wave of the craziness of Mike Keenan, right? Was Al MacInnis not part of Mike Keenan's group where he made trades and did crazy things and spent a ton of dough? And for the Al MacInnis of the world that time, JR, I'm sure in Calgary he was doing just okay, but I'm betting that by the time he left Calgary, probably made more in the first couple of years than he made his entire career, right?
Yeah, like,
those Edmonton and Calgary players, first of all, with the teams, but those 80s salaries, then we got to the 90s and it just exploded.
Yep, for sure. Al MacInnis, for those who have never looked up his career stats, maybe too young to remember, he had a 103-point season one year for Calgary in the early 1990s. Like, we're talking one of the best offensive defensemen in the history of the National Hockey League.
Yeah, very much so. And AJ put out his underrated list, and I talked about this when the Hall of Fame came up. Flat out, one of the, I don't even want to say complimentary, but one of the guys never talked about, Gary Suter. His partner in crime was just one hell of a hockey player.
Yeah, those two manning the D on the Flames power play. And then you had the likes of you know, Dougie Gilmore and Hawk and Lube and Joe Mullen and man,
Newland Dyke and Fleury.
That was a very, very powerful team. All right, we'll take a break. 9:23 still to come. We'll talk a little bit about the news of the day. Get you all caught up as we head toward the weekend. Right here with Sports Radio TSN 1200. The apparently clubhouse leader. Put your money on new nickname for the Washington NFL team. Perhaps before the new football season starts. Sounds like Dan Snyder is well, whether he wants to do it or being forced into it. Thanks to all the team sponsors moving in the other direction, but the Washington Redskins probably out. Clubhouse leader for the new nickname: Washington Warriors. How do people feel about the Washington Warriors? That would sounded like a giant.
I like Golden State.
Yeah.
But. I love it. I just don't know, you know, and one of the things I read, or at least I thought they said they're going to get rid of the logo first. Like, would this allow them to keep the logo? Or like, kind of do a variation?
The logo is of a red skin.
No, but a warrior logo. My point is, like, are you going to do a variation on something like the Chicago Blackhawks that's deemed to be more acceptable, where you celebrate the headdress? Because to that uniform, I mean, I love the color scheme. I'm a big fan of the logo. Now, I'm not a fan now that people don't like it. But, yeah, is this where, because would you not, aren't you thinking when you hear warrior, are you not kind of thinking the same kind of background, Indian background?
No, I think you want to move away, completely away from that.
But what would your warrior that would be?
If it could be anything.
Okay, yeah.
Warrior is any type of person that has
for sure
that I don't know, stood up to whatever.
Yeah. But my first and you've got the warrior.
I mean, the logo is of a Native American with red skin.
Yeah,
and
for
I
sure.
don't know how you don't change that. What are you changing it to a white person?
No. But you would keep the headdress portion of it, and then whether they'll variation on the
colors.
That's
cultural appropriation, right there. If you keep the headdress.
Well, but again,
you can't do that.
Well, but that's what warriors would tell me, because I look at the Chicago Blackhawks and I don't know all the different headdresses. I just don't know if you change that around and you go with something that.
I think if they're moving completely away from
you
it.
You do? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll see.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I Dan Snyder, first of all, I wouldn't trust on anything. I don't know. That just my gut feeling. I'm not saying one way. Hey, what do I know? When I hear warrior, and now I think of the Warrior Stick Company, they have the hockey sticks and lacrosse sticks. I think of that background. That my tendency, just as whatever, a North American, my tendency would be that's still pointed somewhere in the Native American background.
Yeah, that's that to me, and maybe I'm completely misinterpreting. I think if you're gonna move away from that, if you've made the decision for whatever reason, you're not touching on that any way whatsoever. Like you're totally moving away from in terms of you can keep the color scheme the same, but. In terms of your symbol or whatever, I think it'll be completely different.
Yeah, just knowing Dan Snyder and his arrogance, I'm not so sure. But hey,
it won't work if that's the case.
Yeah, well,
because don't forget, in 2013 he said we're never going to change the nickname.
Yeah, for sure.
In 2020, FedEx and a bunch of the major sponsors says if you don't change it, we're dropping out. And it took him about a day to say. Or at least apparently that they will now consider changing the name.
Yeah. No. So. Obviously you're going to get it approved by, but I don't know if like Golden State. Strangely enough, have they ever in their history had kind of anything? Now they have the Golden Gate Bridge, do they not?
Yes.
That's within their jersey.
Yeah.
Like nothing really works to what the Warrior component. Was there a time where they had some type of a warrior on their jersey? Like I say, it's something to follow for sure. I don't mind it though. I actually think it's pretty cool. It just seems I don't know. Seems awfully darn close. That's all.
No, I just Washington Warriors doesn't move the needle for me. As you said,
what do you go with though?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Just like a logo when we
and
see
does,
a new
and
logo.
Does it have to always rhyme with like? I mean, Philadelphia didn't have to be something that started with an F. You know, Philadelphia Eagles. Does it have to be Washington Warriors? Does it have to?
No.
You know, then that is like when you went Bullets. Said we're gonna get away from this. They went to Wizards. Now Washington Wizards, Washington Capitals. Washington Nationals, like why do you need to go Washington Warriors?
So. Interesting here, Simmer, and I'm just looking at the history of the Golden State Warriors logos.
Okay, yeah.
Their first one in 1962, there was no face to it, but it was a headdress.
Okay, yeah.
But there was no face
to
it at all.
That's my whole, the minute and whatever, like you said, JR, hey, there's Warriors all over the world. But as it pertains to North American history, when that term is used, mm-hmm. my mentality always goes right back to some type of a headdress and the celebration. And in this case, and that's why I just wonder if he's working around getting approval and getting approval from some of the different people in indigenous or aboriginal or whatever the term is used.
Right. All right. Well, we'll wait and see on that. But it sounds very much like if they're going to change it, they're going to change it right away.
Yeah.
Big event happening this weekend. Fight Island is going to make its debut in Abu Dhabi tomorrow night for UFC 251.
Woo.
We'll go to our UFC guy, Hammer, to break down the feature match, which is Usman versus Jorge Masvidal.
Oh, this should have been the fight plan 2 months ago.
Yeah.
But Gilbert Burns was under the weather. He didn't say he didn't test positive for COVID, to my understanding, but he just wasn't feeling well. So he pulled out just a week ago, and Masvidal stepped in. Finally got paid because the UFC was forced to, because this is their first fight on Fight Island, and you need somebody big for Usman, and Jorge Masvidal is that name now. Ever since he had that flying knee, 4 seconds in against Ben Askren? That was him.
Oh, okay.
So this one's going to be a good one. This is a great card here for the main card.
Yep.
It's two championship fights. A return match between Max Holloway and Alexander Volkanovski. And then a couple of good ones, too. Not bad, eh?
That is actually.
That's a tough one.
And that move, not a lot of people know, we watch you in his corner. Mr. Miyagi was the one that actually showed him that.
was the kick. That was the crane kick.
Okay, so right now, this is one thing I'm confused about. I'm assuming that what's going on in Fight Island is going to be live. And typically these cards are on Saturday nights. Right now in Abu Dhabi, in the Middle East, it is 5:36 in the afternoon. So that is, by my very quick arithmetic, they are 8 hours ahead of us. So something that is going to be the main card tomorrow night, which typically is the pay-per-view, is at 10 o'clock on Saturday
that's
night.
That's when the main card. Wow.
6 o'clock in the morning, these guys are going to get up and fight. Or not going to get up, but that's when they're going to be fighting.
I'm guessing they're coming over there and they're trying to stay on Eastern time.
Yeah.
That's my guess, or maybe even West Coast time.
Like, there's no chance that this whole thing is taped.
No way.
And then run back,
because it would get released. It would get leaked.
When you
not
said that about Fight Island too, is it actually an island, Hammer? The other thing I just thought of,
a tad bit of a stretch. Well, I would call it a man-made island.
Well, but the other part is that in throwing your thing up to the satellite, when you just mentioned that, I'm like, well, I'm assuming you want to be hardwired, right? You're not going to be doing some broadcast in an island where all of a sudden the feed drops. One of my favorite stories back in the day was when the Portland Trailblazers were good. What's the Microsoft guy that owns the...
Paul Allen.
Allen. Yeah. I love the story about him cruising around the Caribbean and how they could just bounce the beam of the game on right onto the yacht, right? He just cruise around and watch his Portland Trailblazers while he's on the big yacht. I saw that's pretty cool when you can do that.
All right, so in terms of cards,
this is one
people are going to pay for?
This is one that you should pay for. Okay. No doubt in my mind. You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it.
Who are you picking?
Usman
or Masvidal?
1 week notice. This is where Masvidal's got nothing to lose, right? You took the fight in 1 week. You lose, you save face because you took it in 1 week. You win. Hey, you won. I'm taking Usman in this one. It's going to be a good one, though. It's going to be a good fight.
Again, I don't really follow sport that closely, but people have said that if Masvidal ends up winning this, that in all likelihood, he gets Conor McGregor in the next fight. Possible?
Man, that just seems
like a waste.
Is Conor
McGregor still retired?
No, yeah.
For the fourth time?
Conor McGregor seems redundant to me right now.
There's
got to be something else.
The Russian fighter, unfortunately, his father passed away, Hammer.
Yes.
Do you think he'll be coming back now?
Because
that would be pretty hyped, would it not be?
The plan was for him, he's going to fight Justin Gaethje. That's going to be their next fight, and that's going to be a great one too, but that's probably not going to happen until late fall, or maybe not even until December.
Are they all in the same weight class or close to?
Close to.
Yeah, close enough.
They're a little heavy. Masvidal,
welterweight, right?
Exactly. So you're looking at about 15 pounds difference there for Khabib. But they go up and down between welterweight and 155.
All right, there you go. UFC 251 coming up tomorrow night. One of the marquee sports events happening this weekend. We'll take a break, 9:39. When we come back, you're looking for ways to get your kids to unplug, get outside, get to doing something. Many of the recreational activities right now where kids are outside, such as cycling, it's hard to find a bike, tennis, it's hard to find a racket or a court to play on, golf. you know, some would consider equipment and getting on the course to be too expensive. We're going to tell you how maybe you can get your kids involved in a new initiative from Golf Ontario. We'll come back and chat about that when we come back on TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
9:43, and we're into, I guess, almost four full months now of pandemic mode. And for a lot of people who've been hunkered down for too long inside the house, and first it was fear of the virus, and then now it's been the heat. You're just looking for somehow, some way to get your kids out and active. And we have seen an explosion in demand for things like bikes, for cycling, and for tennis rackets, and court time for tennis. And certainly for golf, the world of golf, for equipment and the ability to get on courses. Of course, for golf in particular, a lot of parents, it may be beyond their financial means to be able to get their kids out there. It's a great sport. Obviously, physical distancing is not nearly the issue it is in some other activities. We have a plan in place, courtesy of Golf Ontario, to try to get kids out on the course. And joining us is the sport coordinator for Golf Ontario to explain a little bit more. This is Jesse Mercer on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. How are you doing this morning, Jesse?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks very much for coming on. So tell everybody what this Youth on the Course program, what the idea is all about.
Yeah, Youth on Course is a great program. It originated a few years ago in the U.S. and bringing it into Ontario this year. Essentially what it is any kids who are Youth on Course members receive $5 green fees at participating golf courses. So it takes away the financial barrier to getting into the game. And we have a number of courses that are on board, including some great courses in the Ottawa region where kids can play for $5 or less.
I've got to think timing-wise, this couldn't be better for some of the youth to enjoy something physically and mentally and just get outdoors.
Yeah, absolutely. I know kids and adults alike are all itching to get out and do something. And I'm sure there's a lot of kids whose normal, you know, baseball, lacrosse might not be happening and are just looking for an athletic escape. So it's really good. You don't have to have any experience with golf. That's the idea of it, to attract new golfers. You know, it's $5, so it's an easy kind of, I want to just try it out and see what I think about it. It's great timing. We've got some great courses that have opened up their doors to invite new junior golfers.
What about equipment, Jesse?
Yeah, so equipment is not included with this, but a number of golf courses do have rental sets. So if anyone's looking for equipment, I would encourage them to just maybe call ahead to one of those golf shops and say, hey, I'm playing for the first time. Is there an option to rent a set or borrow a set for my round?
Yeah, and I can also, for anybody who may be interested, another great way to get your own equipment on the cheap is to go the used route on a Kijiji or whatever. I know just in looking for a set for my wife, who's kind of taken up the game a little bit, just going through that, there is tons of equipment, both for kids, junior sets or whatever, that are very reasonably effective as well as in terms of cost.
Absolutely,
so, yeah. How many, for golf courses that may be hearing about this for the first time, you mentioned that there are some in the Ottawa region. For others that are hearing this and going, you know, for many different perspectives, hey, it's great potentially for future business, but it's just a great initiative as well. How do they get maybe in touch with you guys to maybe get involved in it as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So both for courses and for participants, youthoncourse.ca. has all the information you need. And if you're a golf course who wants to welcome more new juniors to your facility, that's great. I think, you know, we have a few on board, but we're looking to grow this. We see this as not just a 2020 initiative, but an initiative that can support and grow the game moving forward. So if you're interested, if you're a facility operator hearing this, go to youthoncourse.ca and we'll help get you set up.
Would you recommend for most families to maybe hit out to the old driving range at least a couple of times to see, first of all, if you like it, but secondly, if you're comfortable before you necessarily hit the course?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's open to anyone. I think one of the great things about this program is it gets kids actually playing. So, you know, if you go to a driving range and you enjoy it, kind of the next step is, all right, well, now I want to play golf, but that might have a barrier. So, what's really great about this is it gets kids from the driving range or from, you know, putting in their basement to actually falling in love with the game, which I think we all fall in love with golf when we're actually playing it and, you know, making that first par, that first bogey, or hitting that long drive down the middle. You know, that's when we all fall in love. So I think that's when that's the benefit, is they're actually getting out on the golf course playing golf.
Or finding that first ball in the water. That's always a big one.
Or that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Talking to Jesse Mercer from Youth on the Course and Golf Ontario. I play golf. I love the game of golf. Jesse, I have never seen golf courses busier than they are this year. And, of course, you're a part of the group that oversees golf in the entire province. What's been kind of the feedback overall on the sport in the middle of a pandemic this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Golf is booming. It's amazing. You know, in different areas, it's hard to get a tee time. You know, golf courses are overwhelmed with the amount of people that are, you know, you mentioned biking and tennis and all these activities that we can do while we're physically distanced and staying safe and still socializing with friends and family. So golf is definitely booming. And so we're so grateful for the facilities in the Ottawa region who stepped up to try this program and get more kids on at a time when, you know, they're already stretched working long hours, but are committed to getting more and more people out while we can.
Yeah, awesome.
We want everyone to try it that wants to.
Yeah, and $5 price point is great. So youthonthecourse.ca is the website where you can find out all the information on the program and the Ottawa area facilities that are open to it. And for those at golf courses that haven't heard about it, that maybe, again, you'll find out the information there as well. Jesse, really appreciate you coming on, telling everybody about it. Best of luck with it.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, there's Jesse Mercer, Sport Coordinator for Golf Ontario on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, brought to you by Pizza Perks at Gabriel Pizza. Download the Gabriel Pizza Perks app and sign up today.
Yeah, and the See Canadian Tire, what's the program they have, JR, for the hockey, the starter program, you know, learn to play? That is for the golf
Jumpstart.
As well. Jumpstart. You know, that's a big thing for the golf too, right? The decision, you know what, it's not cheap necessarily to just go up and buy some youth clubs and you have no idea whether you're going to like it. So getting them into their hands, having back to hopefully rentals, because I think a lot of places during COVID weren't even renting clubs, you know, and just say the driving range is a nice option, but the equipment portion of it is important as well.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, you don't, if and you're absolutely right, you shouldn't be dropping potentially you know, hundreds of dollars on a new set of clubs, because golf is a sport that's, it's very hard, it's very frustrating initially, and you never know who's going to stick with it, right? You have to have a level of patience and stick-to-itiveness,
yeah, for sure.
And we all know with kids, anybody that's had kids, some kids are just like, I hate this and I don't want to do it. And there's no use in doing that. So as I said, a real good cost-effective way, if you want to get your own equipment, is to go the Kijiji or one of those where people are selling used equipment. And you need a full set. You know, you can get by on having four or five clubs, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
And just learn the game, love the game. It's one of the things I love about golf. It's a game for life, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm older. And I only picked it up when I was in my 30s, right? And playing for the last 20 years, but it's something I look forward to playing for many, many years. And anybody that's involved in any kind of sport that you took up as a kid or took up as an adult and you just love it right through, whether it be pickup hockey or baseball or soccer or whatever, any sport you can pick up and make a sport for life, and golf is one of them.
Yeah, and you think of Kevin Hayman, his range, Rito View, talked about actually with Mira's youngest boy, Maddie, get out to the junior program they have, which is outstanding, because you also, and I always try to say this, hey, everyone, who doesn't love to go to the driving range? Like, you love it, and you get out there and wail on it, and then you come to the course, you get on the fairway, and you start trying to hit off the grass, and the club isn't bouncing off the grass like it does at the range, you start to get frustrated. And then the other part, whether the people you're playing with, and this is nice the way they have set up, Jared, is it late in the day? Hopefully you're not rushed, right? Like one of the things you always worry about is, well, not working here, and try another shot, and then there's a group behind you, or you feel like you're not keeping up as far as time to play.
A couple quick texts at 12-1200. I'm with Simmer. If Warriors is the new name for the Washington football team, I get the sense ownership wants to stay as close to the current logo as they can. And as Steve Lloyd tweeted a story to me that suggested the same, that Dan Snyder is thinking about the same logo, and I'll just change the name. But I can't believe he's doing that, if he would consider doing that, if that's the case.
And again, I just went on the phone, Jared, and I typed in Warriors North America, and the images that all come up are all Native American. I mean, that just, again, my perception, and again, knowing his arrogance, I think that he's going to keep the headdress. I think he's going to keep the colors, and I think he's going to change out the face. Now, what is, I guess, not, I don't, so scary, but I'm assuming that FedEx and other companies are going to check off on this. But that this is right up his alley. The minute I heard something like that, I'm like, wow. You put this guy in a corner. This is the kind of behavior, and I don't know if the NFL or anybody else will step in.
Red Tails, African-American fighter pilots, is the best choice if they want to go from the most racist team name to the least racist overnight. That's a no-brainer. That comes from Unsigned. And I have heard the name Red Tails as well,
yeah.
Which in terms of the color scheme, I'm assuming would somewhat fit.
Yeah,
I kind of think it's a cool name, but it's completely different. It goes in a completely different direction.
Well, in my documentaries, World War II, there was an entire squadron of African American pilots, and I'm assuming that's what he's referring
yes.
to.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely legendary. And then sadly, their treatment after World War II, you want to think about one of the worst things that ever happened afterwards was the treatment of the African American GI in return to the United States. So no, if you went down that path, I think that would be terrific.
Someone saying that, by the way, Sea-Doos, you cannot find a Sea-Doo to save your life as well. Yeah, boats and Sea-Doos and anything water-related also doing very well. Anything out of doors as far as sports goes. All right, 9:53, let's do a few sports birthdays, shall we? And it was on this day in 1929. Speaking of the game of golf, legendary Canadian golfer Mo Norman, Canadian Golf Hall of Famer. Anybody that's knows anything or has heard about golf knows the name Mo Norman. He was a unique character, but anybody that saw him swing the golf club knows that that Mo Norman was about as good a striker of the golf ball as you would ever find. He was born on this day in 1929, passed away in 2004.
Yeah, and I just remember, JR, in the 90s, I remember all the scouts in and around the Kitchener area, and everybody in the NHL knew who this guy was. Was he, I guess, later diagnosed to be autistic?
I'm not sure of official diagnosis, but on the spectrum, we'll say.
But like, he was just a legend, and then he had a big thing with Titleist, didn't he? Like, he was just one of these, like, legendary characters where I don't think the swing was the most beautiful, but the ball striking was incredible.
Born on this day in 1943, passed away at the age of 50 of AIDS, is Arthur Ashe. 3 Grand Slam titles, first person of color to win Wimbledon in 1975, and passed away of AIDS in 1993, blood transfusion.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that is the saddest part of this, right? I understand the sexual component and Magic Johnson and other people, but a classy guy like this and everything that you've overcome, you go into the hospital and you get a blood transfusion, and that leads to the end of your life. Thankfully, we've come a long, long ways, but that was super sad. Very classy man.
Born on this day in 1954, Expo great Andre the Hawk Dawson, 1987, NL MVP with the Cubs when he had 49 homers and 137 RBI to lead all of Major League Baseball. Of course, preceding that, it spent 10 years with the Expos. He was the runner-up for the MVP twice during his time in Montreal and, of course, entered the Hall of Fame with the Montreal Expos cap. But the Hawk is turning 66 years old today.
Yeah, boy, him and Reigns and Carter and those teams being an Expos fan. And it was only a couple of days ago, somebody out of Chicago showed or talked about he was kicked out of a game and I think fined either $1,000 or $10,000. And when he filled out the check, which at the time he had to write to MLB, he put at the bottom line, I think something for the legally blind or that he was donating the money in reference to the umpire. So pretty good sense of humor, too.
Football knucklehead Antonio Brown is celebrating a birthday today, age of 32, perhaps to be joining
future.
Russell Wilson with your Seattle Seahawks, potentially, or at least they're working out together.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
You know, and I will say, if you're trying to pull off the whole thing during COVID, like, this is exactly the guy you want around because you know he'll be responsible. His behavior, like, he would never do anything to sabotage the team or himself.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's gotten some help, though, honestly, guys. And I don't know why you'd want him around, but if he has, because there.
Why do you want him around? Because he's a hell of a talent.
No, for sure. But even at that, with what the Raiders, that craziness with the burnt feet and the helmet and then the Patriots, I mean, there's something wrong with him.
Your cost-benefit analysis on Antonio Brown right now, there's a long list on either side.
Yeah.
Hockey birthdays today. Born on this day in 1962, so turning 58, Mark LaForest. He's played over 100 NHL games, goalie. His last 5 in the NHL were played with the second-year Ottawa Senators. He never recovered from playing with those Sens. His goals against it, 559, save percentage of 823 from Mark LaForest.
And beautiful nickname, The Trees. Loved the pipe back in the day. Good guy. Just one of those guys like to sit around and have a little sip and have a little toke, and you're good to go. He is a character of all characters.
Speaking of characters, attendees, Chico Resch. Born on this day in 1948, won the cup with the Islanders in 1980, was traded the next trade deadline to the Colorado, then the Colorado Rockies, who, of course, then moved to New Jersey, which Chico Resch moved with them and eventually became the color commentator for a long time with the Devils. But Chico Resch, of course, spent a lot of time in the National Hockey League. You want to talk about characters of the game. Yeah. He is certainly one of them.
He is. And those Islander teams at the time, you had Billy Smith coming along. They had to make decisions because there was a couple of the Stanley Cups where they had the three-headed monster in goal. And that was Billy Smith, Kelly Rudy, and Roland Melanson. I think Roland, the goalie, got moved first. And then, of course, Kelly Rudy was a pretty big trade for a couple of my buddies, I think, Wayne McBean and Mark Fitzpatrick to the LA Kings.
All right. And we won't go with the highest scoring birthday boy today, but we'll go with the most famous birthday boy born on this day, celebrating a birthday on this July the 10th. Our famous birthday boy is turning 49, Simmer, so should be right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Drafted in the second round, 22nd overall in the 1989 draft, played in the Ontario Hockey League, and was a defenseman. Represented Canada three times in the Olympics and twice at the World Cup.
I think I got it. Has a couple of boys as well?
Won two Stanley Cups. Played 19 seasons, 17 of which were with the same franchise he started and ended with. And yes, has two prospect sons, so Simmer's got it. Hammer?
No, I don't have it.
No?
Not this one.
Yeah.
I needed some more detail, like teams he played for.
Well, the Canada three times at the Olympics and defenseman.
So
we're talking 98, 2002, and 2006.
There you go. Yeah.
Adam Foote.
Adam Foote.
Nice
and
done.
My overage year in Oshawa, Adam was coming through Oshawa at the time, was drafted by the Sioux. And that was right at the time when Oshawa and Sault Ste. Marie made the Eric Lindros trade. So a great rivalry. Saw him back in, 92, actually, in the Sioux. Him and Bobby Boudner, myself, and Bobby Jones all hanging out together when the Sioux Greyhounds beat Chris Pronger and the Peterborough Petes. So hell of a career for him. Unfortunately, I think his boys are a tad overrated, but old Footer is a good boy.
Good guy.
Have both been drafted already?
Well, yeah, no, they were both in the Tampa system, and then the one was flipped at the deadline to New Jersey.
Colorado retired. Adam Foote's number 52 in 2013, had 308 points in 1,100 games. Your classic defensive defenseman, real good player. And he was the last active member in the NHL to have played in the Quebec Nordique uniform.
Yeah, I remember when he turned pro, Quebec just starting to come together. Chris Simon, Adam Foote, all those great young talents. Got it sorted out, and he was just a perfect mix for that group at the time, right? I mean, they made the Sandis Olzunich trade, had some pretty good. But would you agree, for what great teams they were, that the back end of the Colorado Avalanche was a little bit anonymous?
For sure. Absolutely,
right? Uwe Krupp, Sandis Olzunich, Adam Foote. Probably
Carlos Skrastich.
Yeah. The fellow, they had the three first-round picks. One of them from Barrie that year, the Skula fellow, was there
Martin
for a long
Skula.
Time as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Your buddy Robin Regier.
Yeah, yeah, who they flipped out to Calgary,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All right. And with that, we will wish Sean Simpson a great holiday.
Bye, Simmer.
Yeah. All right, boys. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Yeah. Cheers off
gone.
Next week.
Yeah. Enjoy your week.
All right, cheers, boys.
All right. Don't forget to Steve Lloyd, AJ Jakubek standing by in the box. To everybody else who's maybe heading out for a week off or whatever, enjoy. Be safe, everybody, this weekend. For those of you who will be back with us on Monday, Steve Lloyd will join me and Hammer on the morning show. So Steve and AJ are up next. Enjoy your weekend. As we said, stay safe. And keep cool with Sports Radio TSN 1200.
Time has expired. There's the Hooter.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Suck it, Finelle.
Did a horrible job.
I call game.
Surely, that's got